good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a lovely morning out there. Don't expect that. My dog, I kind of convinced Buddy that it was a lovely day when we went out, and he looked at me like I was an idiot when the rain started falling on him. It's raining out there a little bit. This morning when I took Buddy out, it was pouring, and he gave me a pretty dirty look. I was a nice daddy, though. I put his coat on so he wouldn't get so wet. But anyway, put your galoshes on, put your slicker on, take an umbrella, because you're going to get wet. I think it's supposed to rain all day. Hey, didn't Adam do a nice job with the weather? Even though he was telling us it was raining, I thought today's weather report sounded very, very, very big time and professional. Nice job, Adam. Anyway, listening to Scott interview Jason, my mouth's not working, Jason Schauber this morning. Very interesting interview. He interviewed Dr. Mark Davis yesterday, and in both cases, I told Scott after both of them left, I said, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I could vote for either one of those guys. I was very impressed. Now, he hasn't had Mr. Stuyvesant on. I know him, too. I especially know him from the 4-H. I used to go to the, what do they call it? Sale of Champions. I used to go to that all the time, and I got to know him that way. I also got to know him because I was a politician, or sort of. And I know that he would be, he has done a fine job, and I know that he would also continue to do a fine job. I think the Republicans have three good candidates there. The only problem is they're all primarying each other. But that's the way our politics work. So I hope you're having a good morning. I did. I had a good morning, except for last night when I was out with Buddy. We were walking along. You got to be careful. It was raining a little bit last night, but not bad. And Buddy and I were walking along, and all the ice had gone off the sidewalks. I thought that was wonderful. Now, there was ice on the edge, so you have to be careful, and you walk carefully. But then he dropped, what did he drop? I dropped my flashlight, for some reason or other, he thought it was a toy, so he played with it and carried it up into the person's yard a little bit, and then left it, and so I had to go get it, and I walked up into the person's yard, and under the grass and the snow that had melted away, there was a solid sheet of ice, and I took a fall. As a matter of fact, I took such a fall, I covered up where my flashlight was with what snow was left, and I couldn't find it. So Buddy and I had to come back to the house blind as a bat. And I found it this morning when we went out and walked, did our morning walk. We do 4 or 5 walks a day. It's good for the dog, and it's good for me, right? Gives me great exercise. It takes about 15 minutes, and that gets my heart rate up a little bit, and that's what we need to do. I don't do my mile and a half, 2 miles anymore because of the bad weather and stuff like that, but I will start that back up come spring. Right now, it's the dog and Glenn. We're out there walking around. Hey, President's Day is coming up. I think it's Monday. It's the 21st, whatever day. I'm looking it up here. I'm going to find out for sure so we don't mess you up here. 21st is a Monday. President's Day, a lot of people don't really celebrate it much, you know. If I recall correctly, the reason why it was made President's Day is it was kind of a combination of Lincoln and Washington's birthday time, I think. Now, don't go spreading that. Maybe my questions and answers that I come across here will give me that answer, but it's President's Day. And it used to be a day off for banks. It may still be. And when I was at the credit union, we didn't get a day off. We usually had a work day. We'd go someplace and study what we had to make sure people weren't and were doing through the credit union. We learned a lot, right? You better check. If you think you're going to be able to go to your bank next Monday, you might check to make sure that whether they're open or closed. I'm guessing that most of them will be closed. So I believe it is it's a national holiday. So they will probably be closed. So get your money before the weekend, right? Or during the weekend. Not anymore. You can get the money anytime you want by going to those little fancy machines that... I kind of like it, and I kind of don't like it, you know? Your money's there waiting for somebody to pick up if they have the right tools and the right knowledge. They can go there, and maybe the right code, they can steal your money from you. They don't. At least they don't steal money from me. I don't have enough money for people to want to steal it. That's a good thing about not being rich. A good thing about being... I'm not poor, but good thing about being middle class, lower middle class, is that nobody thinks they can get rich by messing with me, because they can't. Fred Malone is going to be in here a little later. He's running a little late today. He had an appointment he had to go to, and he wasn't sure when he'd get in. He might not get in till the next hour, but we'll shoot the breeze in between. But I put together a list of all sorts of President's Day information that I thought you might like to hear, so that you can act like you're really smart when you go to that President's Day party. I wonder if anybody has a President's Day party. Maybe it's a good excuse to have a party. What do you think? Let's have a party. I should tell Scott that, because Scott likes parties. He likes to throw parties. He's a good party thrower. Yeah. And anyway, no, Scott, I'm not coming to your party. He and I have a standing joke that I don't... he doesn't invite me because I won't go. And I won't go because he won't invite me. Anyway, I've been to a few of his parties. They're very nice. Here's the first question for you to dazzle the crowd with. Which of the first 12 presidents was the first not to own slaves? Now, we talked about this yesterday. So if you were listening yesterday, you know the answer to this. Which of the first 12 presidents was the first to not own slaves? It's pretty interesting that the first 12 did own slaves, or 11 of the first 12 did own slaves. Kind of makes you wonder what the Declaration of Independence, Constitution was talking about when it said all men are created equal. But the first 12 presidents, the only one who did not own slaves was John Adams. We learned yesterday that John Adams is not the name of the beer. Sam Adams is the name of the beer, and they were cousins. And Sam was not such a nice guy, apparently. That's what Dr. Feldman told me. Feldman, why did I do that again? Dr. Feynman told me that he was not considered a really nice, sweet guy. He was kind of hard-nosed, but... Sam Adams was the guy the beer was named after, not John Adams. John Adams was the first president in the United States not to own slaves. Kind of makes you wonder about where we were when we developed both the Declaration of Independence and also the Constitution. Where were their heads? Did they not realize that? Well, I guess maybe they didn't think. The African Americans that they dragged over here from Africa in the bowels of nasty boats, they apparently didn't think they were human. I wouldn't do that with a dog. So, well, I wouldn't do anything bad with a dog. I wouldn't do that with a rat. If the rat wanted to live down there, okay, but I wouldn't make him live at the bowels of a boat. I used to race sailboats, and so there are times when, especially if it gets wet, down at the bottom of the boat, there's some pretty nasty water sloshing around down there. You don't want to be down there. All right. John Adams, first president not to own slaves. Which president was the last one to own slaves? Now, this did surprise the heck out of me. I don't think you'll guess this unless you've learned about it in school or something. The last president to own slaves was Ulysses S. Grant. Now, doesn't that surprise you a bit? It does me. Of course, he took over after Lincoln, Lincoln abolished slavery while he was the president, or Lincoln made it possible for the Congress to abolish slavery. And so therefore, I guess there were a lot of slaves right up until that time. So Ulysses S. Grant was obviously one of those slave owners. I'm sure he got rid of them when it was against the law. There's a lot of tales about Ulysses S. Grant. Now, Fred asked me to portray James Buchanan, President Buchanan, in the meeting of the presidents. And if there was one president I really would have preferred to portray, it would have been Ulysses S. Grant. He's always interested me. And why did he become... Why was he so good as a general? Was he really a drunk? Was he a rough guy? He smoked lots of cigars and drank apparently a large sum of alcohol. I think that diminished as he got older. But I really would like to have portrayed him. But I'm reading about Buchanan, I'm really fascinated. I'm trying to figure out how do I, a relatively moderate guy, a relatively kind guy, how do I portray a guy like Buchanan who was kind of rough not liked very much by people. Matter of fact, he wasn't liked by very many people. So anyway, it'll be interesting. I'm working at it. I'm already working at it. Do you know who the oldest? You'll know the answer to this, I think. The oldest living president. Who do you think it is? No, there are a lot of them that look old that aren't old. How many living presidents are there? Five, I think. Yeah, I think there are five. But the oldest living president is Jimmy Carter. Now, Jimmy Carter does more work in one day than several of them do in a week, I think. That man has become a working machine, and I think that kind of keeps him alive. I think he really enjoys the Habitat for Humanity stuff, and he seems like a genuinely nice person. He was very religious, I didn't find his type of religiosity, or whatever it's called, I didn't find him offensive. I do find some people that are hyper-religious a little bit offensive, but he was not. He was kind about it, and he was not at all... not at all. What the heck was that noise? He was not at all pushy about it, and he allowed other people to believe what they believe, and I think that's the way religion should be done. Anyway, that's just me, okay? Who was the first president to die in office? The first president to die in office. Now, when Fred comes, he's got all sorts of tales about the White House, so we'll probably hear about this as well. But the first president to die in office was William Henry Harrison. See, now you're getting really smart. You'll be able to go to that big President's Day party and just surprise the heck out of people how smart you are. Are you taking notes? If not, this comes from Parade Magazine. So if you go to Parade Magazine's website, you probably can find all these things. I like Parade Magazine. They help me out on lots of trivial things. They help me out on when we're doing Family Feud. They have their own little Family Feud website. It's just a part of their website, and you can go get Family Feud questions and answers. Do your own Family Feud at home. That would be kind of fun if you had nothing better to do in life. let's see. What president lived the longest? That's kind of interesting. I can hear your mind racing to think. Let's see. Was it? Probably wasn't. It wasn't Lincoln. There are several presidents that died in office or were killed in office. So it wasn't them. Who do you think it was? I'm going to take a sip of coffee while you're thinking. I remembered my coffee today, so I'm much better off. Anyway, the longest, the president who lived the longest is still alive today, Jimmy Carter. I think he's, 94? Something like that. I wish him another 20 years, you know. I hope he and I go to meet the Maker together. Now, he will meet the Maker. I will not, as an atheist. I don't expect there is a Maker, but that's just the difference between the two of us. And I will let him feel whatever he wants to about that. And I know he would let me feel whatever I feel about that. That's what freedom's really about. You know, you're hearing a lot of people scream, freedom, freedom for this, freedom for that. Freedom is allowing other people to believe what they believe, I guess. I mean, there are a lot of definitions of freedom, but freedom is not telling somebody else what they can't believe in. Now, you might occasionally want to explain to people who think that little green men do such and such on Earth, you might explain to them that it might be a little far-fetched. But leave them be. Let them think what they want to think. Their ignorance doesn't change you at all, right? we do have there is one of the Congress people, senators, I'm not sure which, who believes in that type of thing. And believes that aliens exist. And I don't disbelieve that aliens exist. I just disbelieve that she knows what she... I think it's just she. She has knows what they're thinking. I think she also believes... what else does she believe? She believes that devils can impregnate women. Wow. We have some strange people in office right now, don't we? Who was the first president to die in office? Well, I'm going to tell you this real fast because he was also an answer to one of our other questions, wasn't he? I thought he was. Oh, well, we already said it, William Henry Harris. That's why the question sounded familiar. All right. Ooh, my knee is hurting me today from where I fell down last night. I took some pills. They were ones that are okayed by my doctor, they're supposed to take away that pain. They haven't worked very well yet. Which president warned against political parties, long-term foreign alliances, and strict geographical divides in his farewell address? Excuse me. Got a little tickle here. Gotta get rid of that. Which president warned against political parties, long-term foreign alliances, and strict geographical divides in his farewell address? It was not the one you think, I don't think. It was not a recent one. Now, President Eisenhower warned against a giant... military complex, the growth of a giant military complex, but he didn't warn about the other things. The person that warned against political parties, long-term foreign alliances, and strict geographical divides in his farewell address was George Washington. Wow. He saw a lot of things, didn't he? He looked way ahead, and we have all those problems even to this day. Now, I don't know why he warned against political parties, but we seem to be playing that game in spades, if you'll excuse the expression. We have definitely doubled down on the fighting of the two political parties. Now, I don't know if he thought of having like three or four or five political parties like England does, or I think Canada. But I don't know that he knew it was going to turn into a dual political party thing. But he warned against political parties, and he sure seems pretty intelligent right now, warning against that. All right, we're talking about, you're listening to Glenn Coble, by the way, here on the air, and we're talking about President's Day, which is this coming Monday. We're all going to have big parties on President's Day. You can put, that banner stuff out on the front of your house, and Adam tells us the weather's going to be iffy, but it'll be a little warmer, so, get some of that bunting and put it under your in your little Cape Cod, right under that window that's out there, the two windows that are right out front. It'll make it look real festive. And then I don't know what you'll drink for for President's Day. Some of that what was that alcoholic mead, the drink that they used to drink a lot in UK or England at the time. That'd be kind of neat. I think mead tastes like dirt. I'm not quite sure. Mead, I think, is supposed to be sweet, but I think I tasted it once and I went, ooh, that's horrible. I don't really like the flavor of alcoholic stuff. There is one particular beer I do like okay. I wouldn't say it was, if somebody said, what would you like to drink for taste-wise, it would probably be a diet cola of some sort. but if I, if I wanted to have a little buzz go, it would probably be a light beer. I drink a lot of light stuff, and I've been warned against it by my sister-in-law. She says all that stuff is bad for us. Well, I'm pretty sure that drinking beer of any sort is not good for us, but that we've done it for years and years and years. That doesn't mean it's right. I can hear my mother saying it right now. Just because Jamie will jump out of the window doesn't mean you should jump out of the window. Or I can hear her say something like, just because you've done it forever, we've done it forever, doesn't make it right. We smoked forever and ever and ever, and we found out how wrong that was for us. Now, if you want to smoke, go outside and smoke. You're only killing yourself. You're not killing me. However, I don't want you smoking in my house, because that secondhand smoke might kill me. That's kind of the problem with COVID right now. If you don't want to wear a mask and you don't want to get your shots, that's okay with me, but don't come near me because I don't want you giving me what you got. it's a matter of concern for your fellow citizens, right? All right. You may disagree with that. That's okay. You're listening to a show that has no rights or wrongs as far as what you can think. You can think as you please. You can even think that devils impregnate people if you want to think that. Holy cow. Which president banned alcohol from the White House at the behest of his first lady? Now, this is kind of interesting. I know very little about this president, but his wife decided she didn't want people to drink in the White House. So she told her husband, I don't think her husband called her dearest or anything like that. I don't think he was apron strung, as some people think our former vice president was. But what did he call her? He called her Pence called his wife mother, right? I believe that's correct. Maybe Rutherford B. Hayes, whose wife told him that he couldn't have alcohol in the White House, maybe Rutherford B. Hayes called his wife mother. I don't know. That didn't ask him. Another drink of coffee. Ah, I love that. I love my coffee. Forgot it yesterday, and it ruined my day. I don't know why that is. I don't have, in the morning, I don't wake up and go, oh, I got to have a cup of coffee. I just do it because it's a habit. But if I don't have it, I remember that I didn't have it, and then I get all bent out of shape. It must be the nicotine in it. Caffeine in it. But I do like my morning coffee. I like the warmth. It also, believe it or not, helps me go potty. Does that help you? I was at the urologist this week, and I asked her if that was a typical thing, and she kind of nodded yes, it was. So I guess I'm normal. Nice thing. She basically told me I was a pretty normal guy. That was a little uncomfortable. I've never been to a urologist before. Having a female urologist is a little uncomfortable for a guy. And my wife kind of smiled at me and said, well, now you know how I felt for the last several decades, having to go to a male general practitioner. And I did. If you're as old as I am, you tend to be, we were all raised kind of modestly, I think. And it's a little embarrassing. We didn't do anything that was embarrassing at the urologist's office. It was just there for she asked me a lot of questions. We're trying to figure out if I'm getting older, if I've got something I need to take care of. yes, on both of them, I guess. It's kind of embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to say that I'm embarrassed to go to the urologist. You know the one test that they all do. I'm going to leave it to your imagination, but that one test was the one that really scared me a little bit, and it shouldn't. She told me we do it dozens of times a week, several times a day, so don't worry about that. So I don't worry about it, I guess. I still worry about it. Modesty and you know, that sort of thing. maybe it has to do with the fact that my father was a minister and my father's wife was a minister's wife. And the things they taught me were, well, you don't even talk about that sort of thing, let alone touch that sort of area. Anyway, we're all here alive and doing okay, so let's keep it that way. 115 of Abraham Lincoln's most memorable quotes. Oh, that they're telling me that there is a book that has all these quotes in it, and I'm going to have to get that because I love quotes. I have several books on quotes. I used to keep a log of quotes that I had seen, and I can't find it to save my soul. It's probably on one of my old computers somewhere, but I can't find it. So I have bought a couple of books with quotes in it, and I do go to websites to find quotes. Sometimes, not sometimes, always. These people who they quote are smarter than I am. So it's nice to hear what smart people say or what smart people, I'm not quite sure how to put this, what smart people think. Now, not necessarily do smart people always say what's true or what's right. Sometimes they make it up. I don't know that they make it up, but a truly smart person probably wouldn't make stuff up, but they would have reasons why they believe the way they believe. And that's really kind of where I stand in life. You can believe as you please as long as you know what you're talking about, or at least have studied or seriously considered what you're talking about. Somebody that just yammers on answers. I'm getting all stopped up again. Someone that just yammers on answers because their buddy at the bar told them that was the truth. I don't find a lot of respect for that type of person. And believe it or not, yours truly has been that guy. To all those of you who have sat with me at a bar, you've probably heard me yammer. And I try not to say stuff that I don't know is true. But sometimes you start thinking, well, I've heard it enough times, it's got to be true, right? Well, that's not necessarily true. All right, let's continue on here. I got a cough, so hang on. Yeah, there we go. I'm much better now. Which president survived an assassination attempt 69 days into his term of office? You know that one? If you don't have to be terribly old to know this one. This is something in my living memory, and probably in most adults' living memory. You know, if you have teenage children, I'm sure you were alive at the time that this happened. It was Ronald Reagan. He survived an assassination attempt 69 days into his term of office. It always seems these assassination attempts don't seem to be coming from sane people. His was not. Well, there have been a lot of assassination attempts that came from people that are not sane. They're not people that want to change the government. They don't know what they want to do. They just want to kill that person because they don't like them. I don't understand why anybody would want to. I guess I do understand why people would want to assassinate certain leaders of government. The assassination of Putin wouldn't bother me a bit, but I would never do it. I don't think killing other people is the answer to anything. Most of them, I'm trying to think if I remember anybody. James Wilkes Booth might have been semi-sane. He was an actor, so I'm going to give him credit there. And he was really angry about the war between the states and the slavery thing, and maybe he was relatively sane. But most of the other ones that you've heard about now, Sirhan, don't know. I've seen him interviewed. I've seen his father interviewed. He may have been just one of those people that he felt he was pushed too far, really a. Probably an intelligent young man, but he's not young anymore. I think his opportunity for referral just came and went, and he wasn't given it. So, anyway, let's continue on. I don't like talking about assassination. That's kind of negative, isn't it? Which president organized the Citizens Cornet Band? You know what a cornet is? A cornet is a like a trumpet, only it's a little bit broader. It's a little larger. I don't know how much larger, but if you look at it from the side, it looks fatter than a trumpet. This president organized the Citizens Cornet Band to play at a political rally for both parties. Kind of interesting. Now, this is one you should know. And I'll tell you why. If you're a Marianite, you should know the answer to this. The president who organized the Citizens Cornet Band to play at political rallies for both parties was our very own Warren G. Harding, director and inventor. It's not an inventor, but he created I believe he was the editor and creator of the Marian Star. Now, I don't know if he was the creator, but he was definitely the head man at the Marian Star, which is still around. It's kind of wobbling a little bit with very few writers, and, you know, it's down to, what, I don't know, maybe two writers, maybe, and a sports person, maybe. We need newspapers to keep us honest with each other. I'm a big fan of newspapers and media. I'm a big fan of honest newspapers and media. And I'm not the judge of who's honest and who's not. So don't blame me. But we need them around. I really think that without honest newspapers and honest media, our government wouldn't work nearly as well as it does. We need to be able to embarrass somebody when they do something god-awful, right? Anyway, let's continue on with after we found out that President Harding developed the Citizens Cornet Band. I'm going to have to tell my wife that. She'll be quite interested. Unless you're listening, honey. She doesn't listen to my show very often. She gets bored easily. She's heard everything I have to say. Which president posed with a newspaper that declared the opponent the winner of their election? I love this picture. Harry Truman posed with a news front page of a newspaper that said, who was it? Oh, I forget. Oh, boy, that just popped out of my mind. I had the answer right there, who the person he ran against was. But he posed with a picture saying that he had not won the election. I guess that's kind of so there. Which president purchased the land that's now southern Arizona and part of southern New Mexico? In other words, right there on the border with Mexico. What president purchased that land? He purchased it down to, I'm guessing, the Rio Grande River. We'll have to ask Fred when he comes in if this is true. But anyway, the person that the president who purchased that land was Franklin Pierce. Another president that you don't hear a lot about, right? But he did something. I'm not sure if it's good or bad, you know. If you were from southern New Mexico or southern Arizona and you were a Mexican person, you might have thought that was not a good thing that he purchased that land. But he purchased it. He didn't try and take it over like Mr. Putin is doing in Ukraine right now. Just take it over. Now, we have done stuff like that, so forgive me, but we have done stuff like that. Boy, I'm getting all stopped up, and the dust must be flying. The furnace must have just kicked on or something like that. So if I'm sounding like I'm holding my nose, it is the truth. All right, let's continue on. Which president which president was described as so honest that if you turned his soul inside out, there would not be a spot on it? Now, isn't that an interesting way to describe somebody's honesty? Let me read that to you again. It's really quite interesting. He was so honest that if you turned his soul inside out, there would not be a spot on it. James Monroe. That's kind of cool. I hope somebody says that about me when I'm gone. I hope I'm not gone for a long time, but I hope somebody says that about me. Hang on, I gotta have another sip of coffee. Did you have one too? Yeah, we ought to have a drinking game. Now, most drinking games have to do with taking a shot or drinking a beer or something like that. We can have a morning drinking game where every time I can't breathe because my nose gets blocked up or I want to have a drink, we all take a drink of coffee and there's dead air for 5 seconds. What do you think? I think that's a great idea. Which president served as vice president for his political nemesis? Now, I think Fred and I have talked about this. If it wasn't Fred, it was somebody that talked about, it might have been Dr. Feynman, who talked about a president which served as vice president for his political nemesis, Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, he was vice president for John Adams. I guess that's the way that works. And he was not, they were not best of friends. They did become, I believe we talked about this yesterday, I believe they did become good friends toward the end. They started to understand each other and how difficult the job of being president of the United States was. And I think it probably has gotten more difficult. Can you imagine being President Biden right now trying to figure out how to avoid Russia trying to run over Ukraine without starting World War III? Kind of a problem that we had back when Kennedy had the missile crisis in Cuba. I remember being terrified about that as a kid, because we were in school and they would teach us how to duck and cover. You know, you had to go get underneath your desk, as if being underneath a desk was going to save you from an atomic bomb going off. But it gave kids at least a little bit of comfort, knowing that there's something that their teachers were trying to teach them to do that might help them. Now, I guess if an atomic bomb went off far enough away that only the roof fell in, maybe being under a desk might save you. I wouldn't count on it, though. author Washington Irving described which president as a withered little Apple John. That's kind of mean. Next time I want to throw cast dispersions upon somebody, I'm going to call them a withered little Apple John. I wonder where that came from. Well, anyway, it was James Madison. Washington Irving, he was an author, if you haven't read any of his stuff. Washington Irving described President James Madison as a withered little Apple John. I'm going to have to look up in the break what an Apple John is. Probably isn't anything. Which president served two non-consecutive terms? Now, I know Fred and I have talked about this, and I know that Dr. Feynman and I have talked about this, but which president served two non-consecutive terms? You can serve two terms, and they don't have to be consecutive. Now, when this, I'm not sure whether I believe the rule against serving more than two terms had not become a law. But this president, Grover Cleveland, served a term, then was out, and then came back in and served a term after, and I'm going to have to plead ignorance here who the president was that bounced in the middle there. We're getting close to the end of the segment, and I'll go blow my nose so you won't have to listen to me sounding like I have a clothespin on my nose. Which president used slave labor to build his Hermitage residence near Nashville? This president used slave labor. Now, that obviously wasn't a current president, because we haven't had slaves since, 1865, was it? Which president used slave labor to build his Hermitage residence near Nashville? Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson did that. Now, back in those days, apparently, it wasn't quite figured out that African-American men and women were humans. Oh, I'll never understand us. Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. I'll be back after about 15-minute break, and we'll do a little bit more of this. I got two more pages full of interesting questions about President's Day, and you will be able to go to your President's Day party being the smartest person on the block. Okay? Be right back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM,